We are continuing with Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 through 7, that is the whole Sermon on the Mount. We are looking at what we call the Beatitudes in verses 3 through 12. This is Jesus' first sermon. It is the introduction of the kingdom, the ideas, what is the kingdom? Matthew is introducing Jesus as the king. And this is the king's first declaration of why he's here, what he's doing, his purpose. Again, we start with that first word, which is blessed, which means happy. That is the reason he is here, is to bring real happiness to all of us. The true happiness, not the happiness of the world, but the happiness that can only come from God. Let's pray as we look into God's word today. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth. Father, we ask that you would teach us today, that your spirit would be in control, that you would work in our hearts and our lives, that we would see and know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've studied the past few weeks, happiness comes from seeing, first of all, our spiritual poverty. Understanding that you and I have no standing with God. As we come before a holy God, we are sinful creatures. There is nothing we can do to gain his favor. That is the beginnings. Next, we see that we need to mourn over the sin in our lives. The separation that God created us to be with him, and we sinned and caused damage to that relationship. And we need to mourn over that. Next is happiness comes to those who are meek or gentle. Again, continuing with that idea of God is holy. I am not. Seeing our correct place in creation, as the created beings, as ones who have turned from their creator. Then we get to this week's verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Lots of hungers in our world today. I want everybody, right now, take a deep breath. Ready? Everybody smell lunch? Everybody feeling hungry? Okay, I thought this is a good day to talk about hunger, because we get to smell lunch all through church. There are many hungers in this world. Hungers in our lives. Some of them good, some of them bad. When they're out of control, definitely not a good thing. Some of us hunger for, I looked this up on the internet, for change. Some of us hunger for money. Some hunger for love, for power, for meaning, for more. Many different places that we look in our lives to fill ourselves up. Hungering for food and water are necessary. If we don't, we don't live. And this verse puts hungering and thirsting for righteousness on the same level as food and water. Just as we need food and water to live, we need righteousness. We need our relationship with God that created us. Actually, I think we need that more. We need that more than we need food, and we need it more than we need water. But many times, we don't see it that way. But if we look at our lives, we don't so much feel that we're hungry for God or thirsty for God. But when we look at our lives and the things that we focus on, the things that we put our energy and our efforts into, that's where we can see. Where are our desires going? What are we seeking for and striving for? That's an indication. All of us have things that we like to do, that we go out and we spend our energy and our time on, trying to make ourselves happy. There's only one place we can go to find that real, true happiness. Our lives are often spent searching for something. Isaiah 55:2 says, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" That kind of puts this in perspective. Why are we spending so much more than just money, but money and time and effort on things that don't satisfy us, that don't fill us up? Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." God created you and I to be together with Him. He is the one that feeds us, that fills us up, that satisfies that hunger and thirst in our lives. But we try to find it someplace else. We go to other people. We go to other things, looking for something that's going to make us happy. Today, as we go through this verse, I want you to think about, what are you hungry for? Not just lunch. What are you hungry for in your life? What is it that you want? What is it that will satisfy you right now? Are you feeding on the husks of pigs? There's lots of parallels with the story of the prodigal son. Or are you looking to the real source, the real place that can give us an answer? What are you hungry for? Those in the kingdom, those who know the Lord, doesn't always happen. It's not every minute, but it should be a striving in our life, a hunger in our life, our lives for righteousness. Part of the, I think it's the Declaration of Independence says, I hope I got that right. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness." It's in our Constitution. It's part of our the framework of our nation. The pursuit of happiness is what we look for. What's going to make me happy? If I get 340 inches of snow, will I finally be happy? Will that satisfy? If we have warm, sunny days, will that make me happy? Will that be enough? What is it in our lives, the pursuit of happiness? There is only one place we can go, and that is God, that will truly, truly make us happy. We can pursue it. We often do. We look in many, many places. But how many times, think of people that you know. How many people do you know that are really, truly happy? Interesting thing to think about. What is it that makes those people happy? Why are they happy? What is the source? What happens when things fall apart? Ever known somebody that can be happy even in time of loss? Not that they're happy about the loss, but there's an inner peace that comes when we know God. He alone can fill that up. When we seek after God, we are filled. These verses say we inherit the earth. We are comforted. We are satisfied. That's what we're looking for in life, and we look in so many different ways, different places. There's only one place to look, to gain the things that we want. Matthew 6:33, we'll get to it in a few weeks, maybe months, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek His righteousness. Hunger and thirst for it. It will be yours. The hunger and the thirst in this verse were something, they're something that you and I don't often experience. Now, right now, good thing nobody's too close because my stomach is making weird noises. And it feels like I'm hungry, but I did have breakfast and I did have supper last night. That's not something that we often, I mean, we say we're hungry, we're starving, but we don't, how often have you gone a day without food? Several days without food. Try going 6 hours without water on a hot, sunny day. The people that Matthew was writing to knew thirst and they knew hunger. They lived in an arid desert region. They understood those terms. It was an incredibly poor time. They were experienced on a daily basis with hunger. This verse is telling us that same physical desire that we have for food and for water needs to be applied to God. We need to hunger and thirst after Him. During the British liberation of Palestine in World War I, a man wrote this account down. He says, driving up from Beersheba, a combined force of British, Australians, and New Zealands were close behind the Turkish retreat over arid desert. The attack got ahead of its water-carrying camel train. The water bottles were empty. The sun blazed brightly in a sky where the vultures wheeled about. Their heads ached. Their eyes became bloodshot and dim in the blinding glare. Their tongues began to swell. Their lips turned to a purplish black and began to burst. Those who dropped out of the column were never seen again. The rest struggled on to what was called Sharia. There were wells at Sharia. And had they been unable to take the place by nightfall, thousands would have been doomed to die of thirst. They entered Sharia station on the heels of the retreating Turks. The first objects which met their view were great stone cisterns full of cold, clear drinking water. Picture this, okay? You're dressed in your army fatigues. You are chasing after the enemy. 4 hours. You have a whole camel train behind you that has water, but you're way ahead of them. You have to cross the desert. Hot sun beating on you. Heavy weapons in your arms, trudging along, hour after hour. And you finally get to your destination and you can hear the water. You can hear it in those cisterns. Clear, fresh water. In the still night air, the sound of water running into the tanks could distinctly be heard, maddening in its nearness. Yet, not a man murmured when orders were given for the battalion to fall in too deep, facing the cisterns. There were stern priorities for getting drinks. The wounded, those on guard duty, and then company by company. It took 4 hours before the last man had his drink of water. In all that time, they had been standing 20 feet from a low stone wall, on the other side of which were thousands of gallons of water. If such were our thirst for God and for righteousness, for His will in our life, an all-consuming, embracing, preoccupying desire, imagine what our lives would be like. Picture that thirst that those men must have felt and transfer that to your thirst and your desire for God. Jesus was talking to people that understood hunger, that understood thirst. They experienced both. The kind of hunger mentioned here is that deep, deep hunger. To suffer hunger, it would be one way to translate this. Real hunger, real genuine thirst. And in the Greek, it's a continuous action. It's not something that we get a drink of water and we're okay. That water satisfies better than any other, but we keep wanting more. Let's look over at Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, Verse 1 starts with, O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly. Then it says, my soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That should be the desires of our heart, the desire that we would long for him, that we would yearn to know God better. Luke 1:53 says, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. But he's filled the hungry. Our souls need to thirst and hunger for him. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we're supposed to thirst for righteousness, to seek for it. I thought we were supposed to look for happiness. We talk about that, but that's the byproduct. That is what comes from seeking after righteousness. It's kind of like a man who goes to the doctor complaining of a pain. And he says, doctor, I have this terrible pain. You need to do something about it. And the doctor prescribes pain medicine and sends him on his way. What's the problem? They don't look into the source. What's causing the pain? What's making it happen? This is maybe a bad joke, but I remember when I was a kid. A kid went to the doctor and he said, doctor, every time I drink hot chocolate, I get a stabbing pain in my eye. And the doctor said, take the spoon out of the glass. The source of the pain. Thank you. The source of the pain. If we just prescribe medicine, if we just take things that we think will make us happy, we need to find the source. The source. The cause for our unrest. The cause that gets us to seek for things, to look for happiness. What is that cause? It's the ache in our heart. It's the hunger inside of us for God. Many things look like they will make us happy. But only one thing will truly satisfy and fill us up. Again, the byproduct. It's not what we seek for. We seek for God, and the byproduct is righteousness. We seek him. Seek after righteousness or justification. It's being made right with God. That is the core of our being, is fixing that relationship with him. Real happiness can only come in our lives when we are in a right relationship with God. That's the only way. Being right with him is what really matters. That is most important. There's actually two parts of the seeking after righteousness. The first part is salvation. That point in our lives when we come to turn from sin, repent, and we trust him as our Savior. And the second part is called sanctification. It says we continue to hunger and thirst for him. Our relationship continues to grow. It continues to satisfy. We need to continue to see our sin. We need to continue to see our rebellion, our separation from God. We need to continue to be broken and to mourn because of our sin. To humbly seek after him, to be restored. We need forgiveness. I have forgotten where this quote came from, but there was a man that said most of our mental institutions could be emptied today if people would understand forgiveness. That is the need of our lives, is to know forgiveness. To know that God forgives that worst thing we've done, the little things we've done. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Righteousness and salvation are closely related. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after salvation. Hunger and thirst after a right relationship with their Creator. Hunger to have Jesus' blood cleanse them from sin. We need to abandon all hope of our own righteousness. We can't do it. Doesn't matter how good we are, how well we dress up, how well we present. What matters is what he did for us. It's not conformity to any external code or external set of rules. It's coming to the end of ourselves. These are a progression, interconnected. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We need to see that, realizing our worthlessness. Once we are saved, this hunger and thirst doesn't stop. It should continue day after day. Again, sanctification, that growing desire for Him. Daily becoming more like Him. Looking at the grammatical structure of the Greek here is also interesting. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. In the Greek, they would say, if you would say, I'm hungry, and you ended your statement right there, that would mean you wanted all the food there was downstairs in the world. If you needed to specify, I am hungry for lunch. If you didn't specify, it meant you were hungry for everything. This verse doesn't specify. So what's it saying? Hunger and thirst for all righteousness. Not just a little, not just a taste, but hunger and thirst for all righteousness. They left out that qualifying word. So it's saying we need to hunger and thirst for all righteousness. What's the result? What happens? When we seek God with all of our heart, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Fully satisfied. How many of you have ever longed for, waited for, kids, the school's going to be out in, what is it, 7 days? Is that right? 6 days, something, soon, okay? Teachers might be thinking this also. How many more days, okay? When school's out, I finally get to be happy. What happens? Oh, I don't have anything to do. I'm bored. What we long for, what we yearn for, often when we get it, what next? God doesn't work that way. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's real satisfaction. That's when we are fully filled up. My wife makes great pecan pie. It usually comes at the end of the meal, unfortunately. The whole meal of pecan pie might be good. But when you eat one piece, generally you want another one. One piece isn't enough, but you're already full. I should stop at one piece, and that's part of the problem. But that longing for more. With God, we long more for more, but we're also satisfied. As we grow, as we seek for righteousness, He fills us up. He satisfies that desire. Better than pecan pie. As good as it is. Better than potluck lunch. Better than anything you can think of. He satisfies us. Again, the word in the Greek means to be filled, to be really filled. This is full, real, true, lasting satisfaction. That's what God gives to those who seek for Him. Again, think of having your thirst quenched after being really, really thirsty. Some of us remember those old Nestle commercials. The guy's drinking the glass of water. He's all hot and sweaty and dying in the heat. And he drinks that glass of iced tea and falls backwards into the pool. I love that picture on a hot day. This is better than that. This is real thirst quenching. Several verses talk about this in Scripture. I'd like for you just to listen to them. Listen to what God promises. He says, He has satisfied the thirsty soul. The hungry soul He has filled with what is good. They who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My people will be satisfied with goodness, declares the Lord. Does that mean everything's going to go well? No problems in life, right? No. Even in those situations, He satisfies us. He gives us the strength to continue. In John, it says, everyone who drinks of this water, talking John 4, the woman at the well, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. What a picture in a desert area. The water that he offers quenches our thirst. It satisfies what we need. In John 6, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He is the one. He is the only one that can satisfy us. As we wrap this up today, several questions again I want you to consider. Kind of a weird question. Are you satisfied with yourself? Are you satisfied with your life? We shouldn't be. Because we should have that longing to know God better. A wretched man that I am. That should be our view. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If we get dependent on ourselves and I can do this and I can, we become self-righteous. There is nothing in us that can ever fill us up or satisfy us. How's your appetite for God's Word? Remember back in January, we talked about reading our Bibles? How's your appetite? Do you long for it? Are we spending time in it? We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. If we don't, we're not functioning and living as children of this kingdom that Jesus offers. Where is your satisfaction today? Take a few minutes this weekend and examine. What makes you happy? We got to be with all but, what, three of our kids? Grandkids this last week. That was great. Not that the timing wasn't the best, but still, seeing all of our kids together, which is a crowd, that was great. But there's greater satisfaction in knowing Jesus as our Savior. What are you hungering and thirsting for? What are you looking for that to fill you up? If you're looking for the things in the world, it won't work. You can try them. How many of us have? How many of us probably will continue to? But when we look to God, when we seek Him, when we seek His righteousness, true satisfaction comes. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Again, I would ask you first, have you come to the point in your life where you have repented and trusted Jesus as your Savior? When you've turned from sin and sought and asked His forgiveness? If you've never done that, it's simply a matter of talking to Him. You don't have to have special words. You just need to have that cry of your heart. I'm lost without You. Forgive me. Wash me, cleanse me, come into my heart and my life. If you've never prayed that and would like to today, would you slip your hand up and then put it back down so I can pray for you now? If you would like to repent and trust Jesus as your Savior. For those of us who already have done that, I would ask you, I would challenge you today, where is your satisfaction? What are you looking for? What are you looking to fill you up?